Well, hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is Minor Hawk introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. And as most of you know, this program is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. Now, I believe it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace should be referred to as old-fashioned, but the fact remains that it is. Not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. They don't very often tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sins and to be born again by the Spirit and Word of God. And friends, you know as well as I do that very few preachers and priests speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without having accepted Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular. But friend, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here today to tell it like it is. And thank God he's the only one I have to please. Let's listen to a lovely hymn, and it's entitled Amazing Grace. I, for one, sure thank God today for His amazing grace that was expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for Thy grace, Thy love, and Thy mercy expressed in His death at the cross. And Father, we thank Thee for the day of grace extended so that others might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Bless Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh Thy Son, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, if you'd care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my first text for today a verse in the book of Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And we'll read together verse 5. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was chastened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'll repeat the text. Psalm 51 and 5. Behold, I was chastened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His word. Now, friends, whether you're a Christian or not, I believe you'll have to agree that the Bible is a most unusual book. It is a book which proves the eternal sovereignty of a holy God. It is a book which tells us of man's ruin as well as God's marvelous remedy. It is a book which has been burned and banned down through the centuries, and yet it continues to live on in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, all over the world today. Yes, it truly is a most unusual book, because it expresses so clearly the mind and will of our Creator God. And friends, we read in Peter's second epistle that the scriptures were written by holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now then today, with the help of that same Holy Spirit, I should like to bring before you a particular word which is found throughout the scriptures, and which, because of its meaning, demands our undivided attention. In fact, the word itself means to give one's undivided attention. And the word to which I refer is the word behold. Behold. Now friends, if I were to ask you for your undivided attention today, you would be reacting normally, I believe, if you turned the radio knob to another station. Because people don't like to be told to do anything contrary to their will. However, I want you to remember at the outset that it is God's word, not mine, which I'm bringing before you today. And sinner friends, if God tells you to behold or to pay attention, you would be most wise to do so. After all, your soul's eternal welfare is dependent upon faith in Jesus Christ. And we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now then, the first behold to which I would refer you is found in Psalm 51 and verse 5. There David the psalmist exclaims, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Friend, here we have a statement which is true of each and every one of us, and that is we were all born in sin, and we were all shapen in iniquity. And that simply means that we were born sinners with a nature that is completely contrary to God. And what's more, everyone that is a descendant of Adam and Eve has been born a sinner, and therefore is now or has been in a condition of spiritual separation from God. In Isaiah 59 and 2, we read that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. Again, in Romans 5 and 12, we read that wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So then we see that sin and death go hand in hand. Yes, sin and death go hand in hand. Paul tells us over in Ephesians 2 and 1 that if you're unsaved, then you're dead in trespasses and in sins. And in Romans 6 and 23, we're told quite clearly that the wages of sin is death. Now, friend, the conclusion is then that regardless of who you are or where you are today, your spiritual condition in the sight of a holy God is that of a hell-deserving sinner if you've never been saved and born again. If you've never accepted the death of Jesus Christ as a substitutionary death for your sin, then you are lost and on your way to hell. Now, I realize, of course, that many of you listening in today don't like to hear such statements, especially when they're spoken with such dogmatic expression. But, friend, it's the Word of God. And therefore, I make absolutely no apology for it. God clearly tells us in Romans 3 and 23 that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means exactly what it says. A-L-L, you and I and everyone else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friend, the only one who never sinned was the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the scriptures tell us that He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Now then, the second behold to which I would draw your attention today is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, and verse 23. There we would read these words, "Behold," or pay attention, "behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Friends, one of the most basic truths in all of Scripture is represented in this verse from the book of Numbers. And nothing is more clearly taught in the Word of God than is the fact that we have sinned against the Lord God Jehovah, and we can be sure our sins will be found out. The Apostle Paul warns us over in Galatians 6 and verse 7. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Yes, and Solomon was right when he said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Friend, even in this book of Psalm that we've been reading in Psalm 51 and verse 4, David, the man after God's own heart, had to say, "Against thee," he's speaking to God here, "against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Friend, remember this. Ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, friend, there are many ways in which sin will find you out, and I'll not go into detail today, but I do want to mention some of these ways. First of all, sin will find you out in your face. Why, the scarlet features of the alcoholic and the painted face of the harlot, I believe they're obvious to even the most casual observer. Secondly, sin will find you out in your body. Friend, I believe today that there are thousands of bodies that are lying in beds of pain as a result of venereal disease. And the dread disease called AIDS is spreading like wildfire through the homosexual communities from San Francisco to New York City. Thirdly, sin will find you out in your character. Modesty, truthfulness, virtue, and other moral fibers are destroyed by sin. Next, sin will find you out in your children. In Exodus 20 and verse 5 we read, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity or the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." Then again, sin will find you out in a burning, grief-stricken conscience. And I believe every one of you listening in today has experienced many times a tormented conscience when your sin was brought to your remembrance. Sixth, your sin will find you out in open shame before the public. While the daily newspapers are filled with embezzlement and other crimes against society. And finally, sin will find you out in hell and the judgment of the great white throne. Sinner friend, hell is the madhouse of retribution which every sinner prepares for himself. Why? Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Now, friends, the third behold I want you to notice today is, I believe, the most important of all. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29, we read these wonderful words. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My friends, truer words were never spoken, because Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he really did die on Calvary's cross as an atonement for sin. Back in Genesis chapter 4, we read of how Abel brought an offering unto God, and what was it? It was an innocent lamb. Then in Exodus chapter 12, we read of how the children of Israel could escape the death angel if they shed blood and put it on the side post and lintel of the door. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And what kind of an animal were they to kill? An innocent and spotless lamb. In the prophecy of Isaiah, written over 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, we read in verse 7 of chapter 53 concerning the coming Messiah, his life and his death. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we're told there that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, my friend, John the Baptist had every reason in the world to call Jesus Christ the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And furthermore, not only was he the Lamb of God, but he was actually God manifest in the flesh. And we read that he left the glories of heaven and came down to this sin-benighted scene with but one purpose in mind, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. Ah, listen, sinner friend. If Jesus Christ was not the Lamb of God, then there's no salvation for the soul. But thank God Jesus Christ was his Lamb, and he sent him forth from heaven above to die on that old rugged cross for sinners like you and I. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read that God hath made his Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. If you ever expect to be in God's heaven, you're going to have to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away your sin. You're going to have to see him with the eye of faith, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. And you're going to have to admit to God that it was your sins that nailed him to the cross. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood there's no remission for sin. And in 1 John 1:7 we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now what could be plainer than that? Sinner friend, just place your faith or trust in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved right now, just as you are, and just where you are. Yes, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now then, the fourth behold I want you to notice today is found in Isaiah 59:1. There we read these words of hope and comfort to those convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Behold, or pay attention, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now friends, here we have the assurance of God that he wants you to be saved. He wants you to accept his Son Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And even today, the hand of God is outstretched in love and mercy and grace for you who are still outside of Christ. And I don't care how great a sinner you are, or how far you've been away from God, nevertheless, his hand is outstretched in salvation, and his ear is waiting to hear your cry of repentance. I think of that poor publican over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, who cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then in Luke chapter 15, we hear the words of the so-called prodigal son when he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Friend, the ear of God is always open for the cry of repentance, and his hand is continually reaching out for poor lost sinners who are rejecting his offer of mercy through Jesus Christ, his son. Now in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 33:11, we read where God says, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Again in 2 Peter 3:9, we read concerning the Lord God in heaven too. And here's what he says, The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again in 1 Timothy 2:4, we read that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now friends, this leads us up to the next behold I want you to notice, and that's found in Revelation 3:20. There we read the words by the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, or pay attention, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Sinner friend, whether you realize it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ is knocking on the door of your heart today. He is asking you to let him in so that he can become your Savior, your Lord, and your friend. He wants you to know that he loved you unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross. And he wants you to know that even though you shut him out of your life up until now, he still loves you and wants you to be saved right now. In this verse, he promises that if you'll listen to his voice and will open your heart's door, he will come and abide with you. And friend, it doesn't make any difference how long he's been knocking. If the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you today, you can be sure Jesus Christ is still knocking. Some of you listening in have heard that knock many times before, but have turned a deaf ear to his pleading. Some of you perhaps are hearing him knock for the first time. Oh, sinner friend, please don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus Christ says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinner friend, let me ask you, in view of eternity today, are you going to shut him out? Are you going to resist the pleadings of God's Holy Spirit? Are you going to continue trampling underfoot the precious blood of Jesus Christ? And are you going to procrastinate and put it off till a more convenient time or season? Oh, I hope not, friend. I trust there is no one listening to this Voice of the Gospel program today who will suffer the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And yet I believe there are some of you even now who are making your decision. You're either choosing Christ and heaven and life eternal, or else you're choosing Satan and hell and the second death. Friend, you're making a choice today. Yes, either actively or passively, you're making a choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now friend, as I say, you're making a choice. Actively or passively, you're either accepting Christ or you're rejecting him. And in view of that fact, let me hasten to point you to the next behold. And we find this behold in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. There God says in all clearness and faithfulness, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Sinner friend, God gives you absolutely no assurance of tomorrow. He doesn't tell you that you can be saved or born again whenever you want to. He doesn't say that he'll give you a chance to get saved next week. Oh, no. Friend, he makes it quite clear. Behold, or pay attention, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And throughout Scripture, God, in infinite love and grace to the sinner, tells us to accept his way of salvation immediately. N-O-W, now. In Job 22 and verse 21 we read, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. In Joshua 24 and verse 15 he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. In Isaiah 1 and 18 God declares, come now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Over in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 7, God says, today if ye will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And finally, let me refer you to the word of God which we find back in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Here God warns the Christ-rejecting sinner. He that being often reproved or warned, hard of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me repeat that verse. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, hard of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sinner friend, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior today, it may be the last time you'll ever do so. God's hand in judgment and wrath is constantly hovering over those of you who cast aside his offer of love and mercy and grace. And Jesus Christ himself tells us in John 3 and 18 that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You who are unsaved today, why do you go on without Christ? Why do you sacrifice your eternal life just for a few moments of sin and pleasure? Is it worth it, my friend? No, I'm sure it's not. Because Jesus Christ himself declares in Mark 8, verses 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, friend, I plead with you today, from the depths of my heart and soul, don't reject God's Son as your Savior. Remember the text, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, friends, in conclusion, I would direct you to one more behold which we find in the Word of God. It is a most important behold because it is both timely and positive. Not only that, but it comes directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, as well as in Revelation 22 and verse 12, we read these words. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, or pay attention, I come quickly. Friends, if there's one thing I'm sure of today, apart from the fact that I'm saved, it's the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Not only is he coming again, but he promises to come soon. Yes, thank God for that blessed hope we have in Christ. Thank God the days of pain, loneliness, anxiety, tears, and sorrow will soon cease to exist for the child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to return to take us back to heaven with him. In John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ah, what joy it is for the Christian to know that he is soon going to be with and like the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Yes, all through eternity, we're going to sing the praises unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own most precious blood. Friend, the last recorded words by the Lord Jesus Christ to be found in the Bible are those found in Revelation 22 and verse 20. Here's what he says. Surely, surely, I come quickly. And I'm sure there are countless millions of Christians throughout the world today who can add, even so come, Lord Jesus. Yes, the day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. And those who are truly born again will be caught up to be with the Lord. But how about you who are unsaved? How about you who've never experienced the new birth? How about you who keep putting off your soul salvation? Friend, I ask you in the fear and presence of God today, how about you? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you resting on the rock of ages? Or are you about to be swept, yes, swept away in the flood of God's eternal wrath? If this be the case, then it will mean an eternity in the place that Jesus Christ called hell and the lake of fire. Now, sinner friend, I see my time's about gone. And in view of the fact that Jesus Christ may come before I have another opportunity to preach the gospel, let me tell you as simply as I can just how you can be saved today. Yes, right now. First of all, you must believe down deep in your heart and soul that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. You must acknowledge within your heart of hearts that there's nothing you can do to save your own soul. And then you must, by faith, look back to the place called Calvary and there see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, my friend, you must believe the gospel, for the gospel tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name we ask thy blessing upon the word that has just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.